Hi everyone, and welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. Thanks for joining us tonight. This broadcast is put on by Sped Homeschool. We are a nonprofit that helps families who are homeschooling children with special educational needs. And so every week we feature a different topic and we kind of follow a monthly topic. This month, in January of 2020, we're focusing on organization, but maybe not organization as you would think of it. Last week, we talked about budgeting groceries for allergy-friendly meals. And this week, we're going to talk about scheduling and cultivating rest. And Amy Smith is with us tonight to share just why this is a topic that is just so close to her heart and just some resources and some wisdom she has to share with us on this. So thank you, Amy, for joining us and just being willing to open up your life and your heart and to share with us just some ways that I think we all are searching for more rest as we get busier and our society just gets moving faster and faster. So I'm excited to hear what you have to share tonight.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. Yes, our world is busier and busier. Rest sounds more and more appealing, doesn't it?
It does. I know my husband even said before I started, he goes, "You just seem more relaxed tonight." I'm like, well, I'm supposed to be talking about rest. So maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of accountability too.
Right, exactly. To breathe deeply. Let's get ready for this.
Yeah, and so I said it sounds like rest is appealing, but it also sounds very impossible, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, I know. It seems like we're moving faster, and we take technology on our phone. It's with us all the time, and it seems like we can't ever get away. And I even read a book recently that said, even when we try to rest, we're so used to being moving so fast that we almost can't.
Right, right. Yeah, I've noticed. Even going on vacation, it takes a few days to decompress until I actually feel like I am resting. And that's aside from being a mom and having children and still continuing with work on vacation.
But exactly. Yeah, it's hard to set that all aside and completely let go of it.
Right.
Definitely. Well, and I want to thank Bookshark. They are a sponsor for this episode, and we'll hear from them more in the middle of our discussion. But this is an hour-long broadcast, and we want you to be part of this conversation as well. So make sure that as you're watching, if you're on YouTube, if you're on Periscope, if you're on Facebook, we're live on all three of those places all at the same time. You can write in the comments, and we'll see those. We can put them up on the screen, and we can converse with you as well. And so if you have questions for Amy, comments as we go along, definitely make sure that you put those in. So we'd like to know you're there, and like to have you as part of our conversation. So so as we're getting started, Amy, I would really like you to be able to share with our audience just why this is such a passionate subject for you and where that came from and just kind of a little bit of your story. And I'm going to put up your website too, just so people kind of get a general idea of where to find you at amysmith.com.
Oh, great. Yeah. So, so if you visit my website, you'll see my whole focus with moms is helping moms cultivate a restful heart. And it's not about being able to manipulate our circumstances and create rest all around us, because life will continue to be busy, but it's about cultivating rest inside in our hearts. And I guess the short answer of why is this topic near and dear to my heart is, well, I'm a homeschool mom. I have four children. My life is busy.
Yeah.
two of the major stressors in our family's life are the autoimmune disease that I struggle with, and in different seasons over the past decade have been harder than others. Yeah. And also one of my son's auditory processing disorder that was undiagnosed for a long time, and so many struggles along with that, both external and internal.
Right.
But, so those are kind of some of the big things going on, as well as all of the other things in, just in everyday life, homeschool, and the other parts of our life. The season of my life where I really started to focus on rest was about 6 years ago. So we had been homeschooling for about 5 or 6 years at that point, and I had kind of quickly gotten involved in local homeschool leadership and leading in our local communities. Loved it. Felt like I was very, gifted and skilled in what I was doing, and it was able to help cultivate community that my family was blessed by, and it was service that my children and my husband were all involved with too. So it was something our family was doing together.
Yeah.
Well, after doing that for a while, there came a year that my body was just too sick to be able to continue. Mm-hmm. And in that season, my mom was also battling cancer.
Oh, wow.
And in that season, just decided that my family needed all of my limited energy. So right. I stepped out of all of the extras. And mm-hmm. I look at that season as being a forced season of rest. It's yeah. not what I wanted. Mm-hmm. It really was good. I can see looking back now,
right.
but in the process, it wasn't what I you know really would have wanted to have to do. But I did rest because my body forced me to do so. Mm-hmm. Well, over the process of several years of intentionally resting, intentionally focusing on my health, I left many things undone. Many things in my homeschool, many things that I thought I should have been doing. I didn't finish my lesson plans like I thought I should have. I wasn't checking all the boxes. Mm-hmm. And you know what happened? The world didn't fall apart. And
right.
actually the opposite of that, my children started thriving in new ways, both academically and in their character development.
Wow.
I saw just circumstances start to change in my home in a way that I could not have planned for. I could not have created.
Right.
But it came from me choosing to rest. And I think the big reason that we don't rest is, we have such a desire to take care of our families and to do well with the things we're doing in life. It's hard to give ourselves permission to.
Yeah. And, it's, building those spaces in our life, we feel like if I'm not doing enough, it's not, the end product will not be the best that it could be. Where sometimes we actually ruin that best circumstance by scheduling too much.
Yes, and I won't speak for everybody on this one, but I can speak for myself that I think a lot of that stems from a fear and insecurity in myself mm-hmm. of thinking, am I enough for my children?
Right.
And, especially when you're dealing with some extra challenges with our children, it's really easy to think, maybe I'm not enough for them. And so yeah. we do more and more and more, and we push ourselves all for good things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we're doing anything wrong.
Right.
But we might be missing out on something that's really good for us and for our families if we're not slowing down to rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or even seeing what, like you pointed out, we could miss something completely because we're so set on the schedule of this is what needs to happen
yeah.
that we do mm-hmm. miss out on those really good opportunities because we aren't looking for them and we don't have the margin in our lives to allow them to come in.
Right, and I think that idea of margin is key.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about the margin on a piece of paper, what is the margin? It's that white space around the edges, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we were to look at our families, our lifestyle, how much margin do we have?
Yeah.
And I think that's a great question for us to start with right now is just consider how much margin is in your schedule? How much
yeah.
margin is in your day or your week? Is there mm-hmm. that open space for these unexpected opportunities to happen?
Right, yeah, for somebody to pop over and have coffee. I mean, I've started realizing that in my life. Can I set something down and will it be okay? And will I be okay with that? If so, I know we're in the process of selling our second house just because the margin in our lives with that was not enough. And it just was taking up too much time and we just couldn't make it all work. But, it's letting go of some things that you even love because you just can't make time for it all.
Right, right. And you mentioned having that time to sit down with a friend and have a cup of coffee. The thing that's been ringing in my mind over the past week or so is, do I have enough time to sit down and play a game of Yahtzee? My 12-year-old son is on a Yahtzee spree here lately. I'm not sure how many, probably hundreds of games he's played with different members of the family or by himself if nobody's available to play.
Yeah.
But I so often catch myself telling him, no, I don't have time right now. Give me just a few more minutes. I've got to get this done. But if I have margin built into my day, I can sit and play that game of Yahtzee. And it means so much to him.
It's right.
So such a significant way to spend our time.
Yeah, when my kids were younger, I'm not a game player. And I put on these little post-it notes, TIW, this is worship. And I stuck them everywhere. And I happened to stick some in some games. And it reminded me that this is not just a waste of your time.
Wow.
This is worship. These are the people God has put in your life to spend time with. Do this. This is important. This is as important as any work you could do. And it was a wake-up call for me when I saw that and caught myself saying, I've got something else to do.
Yeah. Okay, T-I-W, this
T-I-W.
Is worship.
This
okay.
is worship.
I'm taking that idea.
Yes. Good.
Wonderful. And it actually sparks in my mind just a conversation I was having with my high school son yesterday. He's taking a Western cultural history class right now. And we were talking about some of the influence during the Reformation and how it was evidenced in some art pieces. We're looking at Vermeer. And so he would paint just daily life, domestic scenes, a woman working in the kitchen, with a focus on those daily mundane tasks being just as sacred as, at that time, thinking of the work of the priests or the nuns or the monks, that those small moments of daily life are holy.
They are.
So I love that TIW sticky note idea. That is great.
Yeah. Well, you can make them all pretty and sell them. Because I don't have margin in my life for that. We were going to talk about different types of rest as we got started with this conversation. And for those of you that are joining us live, definitely we'd love for you to be part of our conversation as well. But when we think of rest, sometimes we only think about, doing nothing. But what is rest really? And how can we look at rest from different perspectives?
Wow, that is a big question. And it's a question that I love asking parents frequently of, what is rest? Because, we could quickly say, I need some. Like we very readily acknowledge our need for it, but what is it? And you're going to start first, sleep is rest.
Yeah.
But that's not all, and I think we know that. I've actually been reading this book recently called Sacred Rest by Sandra Dalton Smith, who is a physician. And she identifies seven different types of rest that we actually need. And I was thinking tonight we could just focus on three of those.
Sure.
Because, I already mentioned that, what's near and dear to me is focused on having a restful heart in the midst of our circumstances.
Yeah.
Which so that there's that inner rest. But there's also a physical rest around us. So the three types I'd like for us to focus on this evening are physical rest, mental rest, and spiritual rest. So physical rest being identifying the need that our bodies have to physically slow down. And then that mental rest of somehow taking all the stuff going on in our minds constantly and giving it a break, giving our minds time to slow down just like our bodies need.
Right.
That is a very hard feat in our culture. It's a very hard feat for moms, but it is possible.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear some of your ideas on that.
Yeah. And then finally, looking at a spiritual rest. Because sometimes life is just going to be crazy, and there's often going to be a long list of circumstances that we cannot control, and this long list of circumstances that are anything but restful, they'll provoke weariness anxiety, insecurity, fear, mm-hmm. anything, you know, all of those things can actually be the opposite of rest.
Yeah.
But if we can learn to have the spiritual rest, then we can have a truly restful heart in the midst of whatever's going on around us.
That is so true. Yeah. It's just like, as the title of this conversation, cultivating it.
Yes.
You have to work at it. It's not just something that you're just going to fall into and find it there.
Right. Well, you know, one of the passages from scripture that, you know, we think about a lot when it comes to rest, Matthew 11 verses 28 through 30, mm-hmm. when Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest."
Right.
We can hear in that, you know, rest is a gift. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I have to go out and make it happen, even though we're going to talk through practical steps to cultivate it.
Right. And,
but then he also says, you know, to take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And that's where the cultivating comes in.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from walking with him, from taking active steps. You know, this picture of taking on his yoke is actually a farming metaphor from oxen that would be yoked together to plow a field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on one sense, that's not very restful. That's very hard work to do. And, you know, as you mentioned earlier, I think, you know, we think about rest as being doing nothing or an absence of work.
Right.
But work and rest actually go hand in hand.
They really do.
You know, mm-hmm. you can even look in creation, you know, 6 days of work and a day of rest, they go together.
Mm-hmm.
And so cultivating that rest, there's some active steps that we can take to have actually an active rest. Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it?
It does, but it doesn't, because mm-hmm. I know when, for me, to make my brain slow down, my body has to speed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned that about myself. And so I have to be active. I have to do like very strenuous sports in order for my brain to shut down, which can drive my husband crazy because I'm out paddleboarding. I'm on my aerial silks. I'm like, doing crazy stuff, but that's the only way my brain will shut down.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one thing that my husband has noticed about himself too, is, and it came when we were trying to really focus on be more intentional with the Sabbath day each week. He was trying to kind of shut down and do nothing and realize that wasn't restful for him because his job, he's primarily at computers and he's using his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he learned over time that to rest, he needs to be physically active. So for him, doing construction projects is restful.
Right.
And I think it's key for us to realize that rest looks different for each one of us.
Yes.
We have very different personalities. We're wired differently. And so we don't rest in the same way, which means tonight I don't have a simple 3-step plan for us because I could share what works for me and I'll share some of those ideas, but we're all different people. And so this is part of that process of cultivating rest, is learning what is restful for you.
Definitely. And it should keep us from judging others and saying, you know, you're working or you're resting, because my work might be someone else's rest and you know, vice versa. Mm-hmm. And it's completely different. And I love that we can embrace that and realize that, you know, God gives us that freedom. It's as we learn with him, he's going to reveal stuff as we walk with him based on, you know, just that scripture that you shared, and he'll show us what that is for us uniquely. And it's a unique walk of obedience. I love that about the Christian faith. It's not, you know, these 5 steps and you have to be like everybody else, because we're not created like everybody else.
Right. There's not a simple formula. And like you said, it's all about walking with Jesus and learning how to draw near to him. And again, that's something that there's some things that we can all do to help us draw near to him. But again, that's something that looks different for different people. And, you know, as we talk a little bit more about this idea of spiritual rest, Mm-hmm. You know, my whole focus on spiritual arrest is how can we draw nearer to Jesus? Because,
so true.
You know, mm-hmm. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is God, our peace, and mm-hmm. peace and rest are essentially the same thing.
They are.
When we're talking about wanting rest, we're wanting peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's a common human goal. I mean, what does everybody want? Yeah. World peace, right?
Right, right. And why do we want
peace within and peace without? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we want it because we know we don't have it.
Yes. Yeah. Everything works. Everything in the world and just sin in general works against that.
Right.
And it's what we battle constantly, whether we know it or not.
Yes. Yeah. And you're going back to that invitation that Jesus gives to come to me and I will give you rest. There've been many years in my life, but that was a very frustrating passage to me because I kept thinking, well, Jesus, I'm coming to you and I'm not restful. I don't have it. But somehow, you know, in the back of my mind, like, so if I truly believe God's word is true and Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest, it must be true. And just kept going back to him over and over and over again. And that's what it takes. This is a lifelong pursuit. This isn't something that we're going to master and be restful for the rest of our lives.
No,
there's going to be an ebb and flow.
Exactly. Yeah. And it seems like we get bigger chunks, like when you hit like that spot in your life where you were given mandatory rest. You probably made a huge leap because you had a lot of time to listen and evaluate. And yet there are those times that we do get, you know, in the thick of things and circumstances start to overwhelm us. And that's when we don't see as clearly, but we can take from what we've learned previously and apply that at least as we move forward.
We can. Well, you know, the circumstances change around us constantly, but also our life seasons are different. And each season of parenting specifically has different things that are going to be struggles for us. You know, the rest that a mom of infants and preschoolers is craving is different than the mom of teenagers.
Exactly.
You know, I'm at the season that I have two teenagers who are just starting their first jobs and goodness, our schedule right now, it's like this huge puzzle. That you know, I'm looking, where can we protect our family time? Because we still desperately need that.
Right.
But you know, every season's like that. They all have their unique challenges. So just like we need to figure out what brings rest to each one of us individually. Mm-hmm. There's also not a specific thing, you know, that's going to bring you rest in all seasons of life. So we have to continue in this process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And be able to modify and tweak it as time goes on. Yeah. Those seasons, you know, now I almost have all adults in my house and it's completely different. I mean, we go for a weekend and there's no kids with us or maybe one, and it's very weird. And yet kind of miss them and kind of don't.
Right. Right. So the mom, you know, the parents of young children are saying, oh, that sounds wonderful.
Right. Yes. But I've thought, you know, back then that this would be a great season, but they've become so much a part of my life now that it's hard to let go of those things. So yeah,
it is
completely different.
Right. I'm talking with my son who starts his first job tomorrow, actually. It's his very first day. And I'm like, oh, you're going off and leaving me. I'm being a little dramatic with him. And he's like, wait, Mom, aren't you the one who told me I needed something else to do with my time, that I had too much open time? I'm like, well, yes, but now you're leaving me. And
yeah.
Realize the whole process of being your parent is a process of grief for me. It's this continual letting go. And, you know, and with each step of that, our hearts as parents need something different.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. And resting when you know that you don't know where they are or what they're doing. That's a whole new stage.
Oh, yes, it is. It is. I'm thinking, how did our parents survive when they sent us off in the car without apps to track where we were all the time?
Exactly. Oh, so true. Yes. I probably was not the model child. I
know I wasn't. No, I wasn't.
So the physical, mental, spiritual rest. And why don't we, before we take our break, why don't you give just maybe some general examples of, you know, rest in each of those areas. And then when we come back, let's talk about building, you're going to talk about building some habits in each of those areas.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So let's think first about physical rest. You know, what is physical rest? Well, it's giving our bodies a chance to do, well, some whatever our bodies need. You know, as we've already discussed, some of our bodies need to be still. Right. Some of our bodies need to be active. And we actually need both of those at different times. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the biggest things that homeschool parents, well, yeah, probably homeschool moms, we're probably a little more guilty of this than the guys are, is just going to bed and allowing ourselves to have physical sleep.
I can't tell you how late I receive emails from some people. And I'm like, I was in bed a long time ago.
I know. Yeah, but the hard part with going to bed is there's always something else that needs to be done.
Exactly.
Like, you know, mm-hmm. the task list is never finished.
No.
So in order to allow ourselves to have that physical rest, we have to give ourselves permission to leave something unfinished.
Yes.
And, you know, yes, it's important to pick up around the house. And, you know, yes, it's important to have some of that downtime to read or, you know, maybe, you know, watch a show. Those are, right. are good things. But at some point, we need to call it done and go to mm-hmm. sleep.
Right. Definitely.
So I think, you know, that's a great place to start. And mm-hmm. and it's not something to think of, oh, well, you know, I'm a night owl, you know, I'm going to stay up and then I have to get up early because the babies are awake. It's mm-hmm. not a place to feel there's a specific way that going to bed has to look. But the idea is just being sure that your body's getting the rest, the physical rest and sleep that you do need. So that's going to look different for each one of us. It's not mm-hmm. saying, you know, a morning person's better than a night owl. No, it just means we need to figure out when our body needs that sleep.
Definitely. Yep. Yeah. Take it from me. 2 hours does not work. I had an adrenal failure after that one. I had three foster kids for over a year and I slept 2 hours a night for almost a year and it took a long time for me to recover from that. So,
Wow. Yeah, that's a hard one. No. Sleep is a good thing. And that was for a very good cause and, you know, very good reason you were doing that. But and it's hard to balance, you know, and I realize that, you know, going to bed isn't always as easy as it sounds. And if you have children who are awake in the night, that's very difficult. So I do realize this could be very frustrating if you're in a season where external circumstances are preventing the physical sleep that you do need. Right. Say, hang on, it doesn't last forever.
Right.
And seasons do change and you will make it through this season.
Yeah. And if you have to enlist help.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Absolutely. And of course that's hard to find sometimes, but whenever possible, receive that help. Done with, you know, physical rest. Primarily be sure that we're getting the physical sleep that we need. It's the starting place for the physical rest. And then finding the right balance of restful activities and restful lack of activity. Mm-hmm. So get outside and take a walk or do whatever you need to be physically active.
Definitely.
And be sure you're taking time to sit down in whatever form that needs to be for you. So sleep, restful activity, and sitting down. At least sometime.
Yeah. So true. All right. So should we we'll take a break then, and we're going to hear from our sponsor. And then when we come back, Amy's going to share with us some specific ways to build in some healthy habits to make this happen more in your life instead of just wishful thinking, which I think a lot of us do and say, I just need more rest. And then we really don't know how to go about it. So I'm excited for our next half. And so we're going to hear from our sponsor, Brook Shark, though, and then I'm going to bring Amy back and we're going to talk about that. So hold on. All right. So we want to thank Brook Shark for sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations, as well as just this episode when we're talking about rest. And if you don't know anything about Bookshark, definitely visit their website at bookshark.com. But they are a literature-based four-day faith-neutral curriculum. And Kim McNary, a busy homeschool mom, says, my daughter's on the spectrum as well. She has OCD and has instantly taken to this curriculum. It's incredibly structured, and that makes us both ecstatic. The books are great, and the kits are awesome too. I'm running my daughter to all kinds of appointments, and as parents with children with special educational needs, you know what that's like. We are a first-year Bookshark customer and happy as a lark. Kim, you're right. Bookshark is fully planned. It's a four-day curriculum that flexes to match your busy lifestyle. It has a complete, detailed instructor's guide that lays everything out clearly, so you're prepared to teach in mere minutes a day. You just open your guide, gather your resources, which are included in your package, and you go. There's curriculum for ages 4 to 16, and it's available in all subject packages or individually in academic areas. You can do reading with history, language arts, science, math, and with Bookshark, it's a literature-rich based program, which means your children will read or have read to them 35 to 50 books each year. So visit bookshark.com to learn more about their curriculum. You can download some samples and even request a catalog. So thank you, Bookshark, for sponsoring. And now we're gonna bring Amy back and we're gonna start talking about some ways to build in rest. I'm excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Okay, actually, before we jump into the scheduling setup, can we talk about a few specific ideas of how we could pursue that mental and spiritual rest as well?
Yes, definitely. I know we haven't got to that yet.
Yeah, and then definitely the scheduling, because that's where we actually make something happen. Right. So for mental rest, there's kind of three things that I see as important for us to try to do. One is to get all the stuff out of our head. So much of the unrest that we feel is because there's just all of these thoughts and ideas and worries and anxieties and concerns that we need to be thinking about and we need to be focusing on. Yeah. But it's just this jumbled mess in our minds. Mm-hmm. And I know frequently I'm waking up at 4 a.m. with this mile long list going on that I'm talking about at the time. Mm-hmm. So I found two big ways to get all of that out. I'm kind of more introverted and I tend to kind of bottle things up. So this could look different for different people. But for me, just talking to somebody about all that stuff is huge. Mm-hmm. Or spending some time journaling and just writing down a list. Somehow just seeing a list of all those things that are concerning me helps feel like they're more manageable just by getting them down on paper. Mm-hmm. So somehow getting all that stuff out of our head, not that we have to do anything with it, but just to get it out helps to promote mental rest. Mm-hmm. And then one other way that we can help cultivate a sense of mental rest goes along with some of the things we've kind of mentioned already, but doing something that you enjoy. And this is where hobbies come into play, or those activities, having a cup of coffee, a cup of coffee with a friend, reading a book, working on a painting or some type of a handcraft, doing some sort of sport or physical activity, but allowing yourself time to pursue some of those enjoyable interests brings rest to you, and it's going to bring rest to your family, and it'll be a benefit for them as well.
Yeah, it calms your thinking down, definitely. Mm-hmm. And we don't think about that. We think, well, it's just something else I'm doing. But it allows you to process a lot of those things you're thinking about in a different context. And so it truly does help you rest.
Right, right. And then one third thing we've already alluded to, but digital rest.
Yes.
It almost needs to be its own category in the culture that we live in. And, you know, technology is wonderful. That's how we're able to have this conversation tonight. And we're able to connect with so many people. It's wonderful. It's such a blessing, but it can be very constant. And so you need to figure out where are the parameters that you need to set for your screen time, whether it's phone or television or social media or all of these things.
Yeah.
Is there some time that you're disconnecting? Mm-hmm. Is there some time during the day that, you know, of course my phone's right here beside me, but is there a time it gets set to the side and it's not attached to me? Or is, you know, there perhaps a day a week to disengage from social media?
Right.
And I think it's crucial to give our brains, you know, and our minds and our hearts mm-hmm. that type of rest. From all the digital input.
Natalie says, I'm trying to work through that right now. LOL.
It's incredibly hard, isn't it, Natalie? I mean, I'm saying that at the same time thinking, I need to work on that one again.
Mm-hmm. I know. And it is. It's, you know, as we're going to start talking about habits, there's a lot of bad habits. And Natalie says hi to both of us.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, glad you're with us, Natalie.
we went on vacation and the owner of the house that we rented said, I know lots of people like to check out, but I really need to be in contact with you because the house was rented out so much that the only time he had to work on the gardens was while you were staying there. But he wanted to make sure that it was while we were gone, not while we were at the house, that he was like infringing on our time there. We do want to check out.
We do. And of course, as parents, it's hard to totally check out because you do have people that you're responsible to care for. So, mm-hmm. and that's why it's so difficult to do.
Right. Yeah. And it's great. Like we were talking about earlier, it's nice to know where your children are and what they're doing and have the technology to do that. But yet it makes you be more connected at the same time.
Right. So then I think three of the things I would really love to share have to do with this idea of spiritual rest. And these will lead us right into the idea of habits and scheduling, scheduling to be able to cultivate rest. Because all three of these have, and I say this, and you might think that I'm exaggerating, but I tell you it's the truth. These three habits have transformed my life personally. And so I really believe that there's a huge opportunity here that I hope many of you will try as well. So in this idea of spiritual rest, it's, you know, that walking with Jesus like we've been talking about already, so that mm-hmm. we can have an inner peace despite our external circumstances. Mm-hmm. One way that we can cultivate that, and this is something that we will schedule, is by having prayer stops throughout the day. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the great uses that I have found for my phone is setting alarms at various points throughout the day. And mm-hmm. I put on a lovely chime sound instead of a buzzing alarm sound.
Right.
when my alarm chimes, it's time for my prayer stop. And it's not that I'm going to stop and have a lengthy formal time of prayer, but I'm just going to talk to the Lord about whatever's going on at that moment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a great time just to whisper a prayer of thanks for my child in front of me or to, you know, give out a desperate plea for help with this math lesson. Right?
Exactly.
So it's a great way of training our minds to walk with Jesus throughout the day, because walking with Jesus isn't about having a set quiet time and then getting about the work. Mm-hmm. It's about walking with him as we do the work.
Right.
And I found these prayer stops for me, as you said, I'm at 9, 12, 3, and 6. Just even times. I know other people like to set them right before a time they know will tend to be stressful, like right before you're making dinner. Mm-hmm. And so go ahead and be preemptive and know you're going to need that prayer stop around at that time.
Yeah, those are some great ideas. Definitely. I know I read years ago the book by Brother Lawrence. And it was, you know, just, I forget the name of it. It's just a short little book about, you know, just basically continually talking to God throughout your day. And it was transformational, truly. Mm-hmm. And I never even thought about how much it added to my restfulness. But just, I was dealing with depression too. Just how much that helped me to reorient my thoughts and to just trust God more.
Absolutely. And I think it's that continual reminder to remember that he does still love you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. True. So one other thing that we can do is setting a 21-day prayer focus at various times, you know, in the year when you just really need a heart reset. I'm actually in the middle of a 21-day prayer focus right now because I've built this into my schedule in January at the beginning of the year. And I also do it again in August because that's when we start our school year in my house.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's just a great way to reset my heart personally. But it's also great to pull out just at any time throughout the year that everything feels like it's falling apart. Because it's probably falling apart on the inside is where exactly. We feel the anxiety.
Yes.
And that's a great time just to have an intentional season of being able to pray every day. And this idea is actually, you know, what I used to develop the book that I've recently wrote. Is it's all about, it's a guide through a 21-day prayer focus so that we can have this heart reset. And this continual reset does bring rest. In fact, a lady who went through one of these 21 days with me recently, so she was kind of skeptical when she saw that, you know, it was about prayer. She's like, yeah, I prayed, you know, prayed before, doesn't really bring rest. But she decided to try it and she stuck with it for the 21 days. And she said at the end, there was such a difference in her life. People started commenting on her. Her pastor's wife, you know, came up to her and said that she visibly looked more restful.
Wow.
So.
That's a testimony, you know, for sure.
It really is. It was, you know, the internal change was evident on the outside. And did her circumstances change? No, but her heart focus did.
Yeah, it's amazing how when we have a strong pillar that's, you know, that we are set on, that storm can come around us and it doesn't affect us. And it's so scripturally based, yet we just don't know how to do it at times. And I, you know, to be able to reset yourself on a regular basis because it takes that long to build a new habit.
It does. It does. And then it's so easy after the habit is built to get out of the habit and to forget
all the things we were doing.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's why I have the word reset in my mind, a heart reset, because we develop good habits and then life gets busy and we forget. And so we need something to give us just a little push to have a reset again and to get back into the habits that we know really are beneficial, not only for us, but for our family and everybody around us.
Right. Yeah. It is so easy to fall back into those things that they're comfortable and they just seem so easy, but yet in the long run, they do make life more difficult.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, one other thing that, you know, I think helps us carry a sense of rest through the year is to set a monthly restful habit. So you can, you know, right now as we're talking, it's January, but, you know, it doesn't matter what time of year it is when you're listening to this. Now is a great time to start. Kind of look through the rest of this year and think of activities you can do that would bring you rest. Something that you could do in a very short amount of time every day. It might be this idea of prayer stops. It might be, you know, taking time to jot down, you know, three things you're thankful for. It might be sitting down to read 5 minutes out of a book. you know, whatever, you know, it might be that activity, that hobby that you really enjoy doing it just a little bit, but something you can do every day for a month to build a habit. But go ahead and start, you know, kind of plot out something you could do each month and, you know, for the rest of the year, put a reminder on your calendar and try to use that as a way to set some habits, focusing on just one thing a month. You know, we're not going to do everything, but just, but just focus on one.
I love that because you can try it out for a month and then you're not really stuck to it saying, I'm going to do this now from now on. I can change it next month and try something new.
Right.
And so that gives you that freedom and flexibility.
Right. And it could be that, you know, you hear one of these ideas we've talked about tonight, or, you know, think of something that someone's mentioned in the past and you try that idea. And you stick with it long enough to see if it is good for you or not. And as soon as you realize, you know, this isn't me, well, stop. You know, you don't even have to finish it through the whole month. Go ahead and do something different. If it's not bringing you rest, then it's not what you need.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That goes back to the beginning of our conversation and talking about how rest is different for different people. And just because it looks like this person's getting rest out of this activity, it doesn't mean it's going to come to you the same way.
Right.
So true. Yeah. So yeah, those are some great examples. And I love especially the spiritual context. And so really we're building habits out of being purposeful about reminders and trying different things too. So what does that look like, I guess, and how we can apply that in other areas of our life? So in all of these different areas, we were talking about physical, rest, mental, and spiritual all together.
Yeah. So I think a great way to start with this is just stop and think, what areas of my life are most unrestful right now?
Oh, and that's good question.
And how can I plant a small seed of rest into that? You know, if you're, you know, as we've been talking tonight, you know, we talked about earlier about not sitting down to eat.
Yeah.
If you're in a season where you're constantly standing and moving around and you're realizing that, you know, you're part of the unrest is because you're constantly moving. Then think of a way that you can start to intentionally sit just for a little bit, because I know the kids are going to need you and you're going to have, you know, you will have to continue doing the work. But think of where is life most unrestful and what is one step I can take that I can do today?
Right.
And I can set a reminder. Again, you know, I have so many reminders on my phone. It's actually, it might be embarrassing to show how many are on there, but they're very helpful because life is so busy. It's hard to remember.
It is definitely. Yeah. I know, speaking of, you know, eating, we had one lady in our small group. She was eating with chopsticks and somebody asked her why she was doing that. Cause we had a potluck and she said, because I've learned that I eat too fast. And if I eat with chopsticks, it makes me slow down.
I love that.
That is great. You know, cause I'm one of those people too. I can eat a meal in about 2 minutes and yet that is really not good for me. So employing the chopstick method might work well.
So, you know, this idea, start with one habit that you can do every day, which means it's got to be something very simple, but something that's going to bring life and rest to your heart. And then think about something you could do once a week. So some of the things we've talked about, what may not be practical to do every single day. And we don't want to set ourselves up to feel a sense of failure, to feel guilty and self-condemnation. I tried. Right. So realize there are some things that we just will not be able to do every day, but maybe we can do them once a week. Right. So try scheduling a daily restful habit and then try scheduling a weekly restful habit.
That's great. Yeah. Love that. Well, Natalie said that she thinks she has you beat with reminders.
Really?
So you're going to have to compare with her after the show.
Maybe we could have a little competition and see. Yeah. But it's such a useful tool. And I think that that's one thing, this wasn't in my plan at all, but I think one thing that does help us have rest is to know how to use various tools and resources that
yes.
we have. And reminders are a great resource that we do have.
Yeah, because they free our mind for mm-hmm. not having to remember everything. Yeah,
exactly.
I know my planner every day it looks chaotic and crazy, but it helps me to not have it all up here.
Right.
It's all on the page instead.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, most of what we've been talking about, you know, really doesn't, you know, it may not sound like it relates specifically to homeschool because we're primarily talking about, you know, me and you and, you know, the one person is, you know, we're thinking about what's going on in our own heart and in our own life. But this definitely applies to our homeschools as well.
Oh, so definitely.
To think through a restful habit personally, because in order to be able to serve your family well, you have mm-hmm. to be in a restful place to begin with.
You do, yeah.
But these principles also apply to our families. So what mm-hmm. is a restful habit we could have with our family every day? What's a restful habit we could have every week? And, you know, we could even set up a challenge with our, you know, with our families. What is it that brings joy? Is it board games? Is it reading a book together? Is it, you know, going out and jumping on the trampoline?
Right. Yep.
What are those restful activities that we can do together mm-hmm. as well?
Yeah. Yeah. My husband's downtime has always been a TV show and I hate to watch TV. And so I have forced myself now to sit through all the episodes of Star Trek Voyager. And now we're on to Psych. But it's that 1 hour a day that if anybody's home, they sit down and we watch a show together. But,
right.
you know, that's how he needs to decompress. And it's mm-hmm. how I forced myself to spend some time sitting. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. Well, watching I Love Lucy has been one of our family, you know, restful moments in some seasons. We've watched all of them. But you know, just mm-hmm. having something to sit and laugh about together.
Yeah.
There's tremendous benefit there.
Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah. And just, you know, dinner time or one meal time together.
Mm-hmm.
And not rushing that meal.
It's yes.
been a huge habit for us, definitely.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It's amazing now when the kids come back, that's like their favorite time when they're mm. home, you know, and they'll sit at the table for 2 hours now and just talk, which is, you know, it's really cool to watch happen because they value that time so much and they mm-hmm. miss it when they're away from home.
That's so encouraging for me because my kids are a little bit younger than yours and they're not quite out. And, you mm-hmm. know, I found in the season of teenagers, I'm having to fight and work really, really hard to protect mm-hmm. our meal time.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, having all six of us around the table is not happening as consistently as it used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hanging on to it. And, you know, I'm praying that we see that exact same thing, that that's mm-hmm. our kids come home wanting that time.
Right. Yeah.
I love that.
I promise you will. It's they will treasure it because they think they see when they go out to other homes, especially that families just don't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it is it's a very precious time if mm-hmm. you can carve that out to make that just that conversation getting, you know, the relational time.
Yes. Yeah.
So true. Yeah. Yeah. Natalie had said we need to model rest for our kids more. And that is mm-hmm. so much of what we're talking about. Yes, we are homeschooling, but our kids are watching us.
Mm-hmm.
Are they seeing you, you know, taking those prayer stops like you're talking about? Are they seeing that you're internally peaceful when the world is chaotic? How does mom do that? You know, mm-hmm. and do they understand that life doesn't have to be all, you know, perfectly lined up for us to be at rest and mm-hmm. us to be at peace? Because they do, they follow what we do.
Right. I think that's such a crucial point, Natalie, of we're so busy doing to serve our children and to teach them and to help them through their struggle spots and to figure out how we can best teach each unique child. Do we forget how important who we are and the model we're giving them is?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they learn so much more about what they see us doing than what we specifically try to teach. And, you know, how many, you know, maybe that's a great question for us to consider is the model of lifestyle I'm giving my children what I want them to have when they grow up?
Yes.
Is this what I want them to copy?
Yeah. And don't beat yourself up about it.
No.
But walk, you know, like we were talking at the very beginning is, you know, we are yoked with Jesus, and he's going to teach us how to overcome those things that we struggle with. We all have imperfections. And yes, our kids are going to pick them up. Those are those family things. But God knows that. And he knows when we're going to be able to work through those and trust him.
Right. And knowing that everything we're talking about tonight, it's a process and it's a journey. And, you know, any sort of learning process is going to have its messy points. And
yes.
That's okay, because we learn from those as well. And
exactly.
And our kids learn from the areas that we might label our failures, because we're going to be hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
But it might be in some of those things that they gain their best lessons.
So true.
Because they're learning through our struggles as well as us learning through theirs. Mm-hmm. But it's a process, and there's a lot of grace in this process.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about one small step at a time.
Yeah. I love that. So as we're wrapping up, is there anything else that you want to touch on? I know we have some resources we're definitely going to share of yours. Mm-hmm. But before that, is there any other things in those three areas of physical rest, mental rest, and spiritual rest that we haven't covered yet?
Yeah, well, I think just an overarching thought of, yes, rest is possible.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
No, rest is not perfect. Perfect rest
yes.
comes in heaven.
Yeah.
That is one day. Mm-hmm. And we're not there yet.
Yeah.
And so right now, this process of rest, it's going to ebb and flow. There'll be ups and downs. Mm-hmm. There'll be seasons of life where we're pursuing rest. And then there can be seasons that everything's just crazy about us and we forget, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just continue taking one small step. And over time, I think you'll see that, you know, as you intentionally plan and schedule ways to cultivate rest in the way that you need it personally and, you know, and individually, over time, I think you can look back and see that your heart really is growing to be more restful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a process, and you have to be willing to go through the process and take the time needed mm-hmm. to learn and grow.
Right.
It's not going to happen overnight.
No.
It's unfortunate. We want fast everything.
No. It would be so nice if it did, but
yes.
It just doesn't work that way.
No. Yeah, so true. So I've got a couple of your resources. Which one do you want to share first?
Let's look at the Year of Victorious Rest. And so this is actually a free ebook that I have on my website. It's just a small download. But it is kind of a guide to help walk you through setting restful prayer habits, one habit for each month of the year. So we talked about scheduling a restful habit you could do every day. And that could be a physical, you know, a physically restful habit. It could be a mentally restful one. In this guide, I'm specifically looking at some spiritual habits that we could set. It just kind of walks you through a way to make a plan for the entire year, so that, you know, this isn't something we think about today and try practicing for the next 3 days and then life gets busy and we forget.
Right.
But we continue building habits month mm-hmm. after month.
Yeah. So for those of you listening on our podcast, it's amysmith.com/A Year of Victorious Rest. so you can find that. I'm sure if they go to your website too, there's probably a link.
Yes, they can find it there.
You can go to amysmith.com. So, and that's AIMESMITH.com.
Yes, I have to have the different spelling. Since I married the Smith, God knew that I needed a slightly different spelling.
A slightly different first name.
Right, so I could be found in a database. Or I would completely disappear with the Amy Smiths of the world.
Oh, yeah. So, and then the other one you have is a restful homeschool resolution.
Yes. So this is actually a book that is available on Amazon. The link that you have is actually going to my website, gives you a little more information about the book. So this is a book you can have either in Kindle or in paperback. And this is the guide I mentioned briefly earlier that actually leads you through a 21-day prayer journey for your homeschool. So the full title of the book is actually The Restful Homeschool Resolution, 21 Days to Transform Your Homeschool. And I know that sounds like a, it sounds like I might be over-promising, but I can tell you story after story of homeschool mom who's gone through this and really has seen changes in her life. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that's intended just to read once and set it on the shelf, but to bring it back out. Because again, it's about setting the habit of having this, this time for a, you know, a heart reset.
Right. So, and then you learn something new every time you go through it, I'm sure.
Right,
and
right.
You said something else.
Yeah. Well, because you're always in a different season.
Right.
So it takes you through 21 days where there's just a very short devotion because I know moms' lives are busy and you only have so much time to read at once. Mm-hmm. And then there's a prayer challenge. And some of these challenges don't really look like prayer, but the whole focus is in drawing close to Jesus and having conversation with him, because that's what prayer is.
Exactly.
So there's a different prayer challenge each day. Not everyone will resonate with every person, but you'll find some in there that you want to build into habits over time. And then also there's just a guide for praying through various areas of homeschool life. So intentionally talking to the Lord about that, that deepest area of struggle where you are just so desperate, you don't have any clue what to do.
Right.
Jesus wants to hear about those things.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, you know, thinking through our meal times or our meal planning, you know, those are things in homeschool life that can bring a lot of unrest. And yes, there are many wonderful resources for us to organize and plan those, but God also wants us to talk to him.
Right.
And
he's
a lot
got
of
solutions that aren't going to, you're not going to find in a book or a planner because your family is so unique.
Right. And a lot of times, you know, if you're praying about that area you're struggling through, whether it's a, you know, how to keep your records or how to make your lesson plan or what to do about all these sibling squabbles going on in home that you can't get to school because you can't get past those. But as you pray about
it, all that we did, the homeschool, for those.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's amazing the idea that just seems to come out of nowhere or the resource that you're providentially led to after taking a few minutes to talk to the Lord about it. So it's, you know, short devotion, a prayer challenge to draw close to Jesus, and then intentionally praying through 21 different areas of homeschool life.
Great. Yes, I can attest to those things happening in our lives over and over again. It's, you know, I think that the thing that I always tell people is if you don't have God's peace, don't move forward. Just stick it out. Ask, seek, and knock, and just wait, because there's a better answer than pushing forward in anxiety or fear.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, so. Yes.
Well, those are some great resources. I'm excited for our viewers to be able to tap into those. And yeah, I'm just going to show your website again. It's Amy Smith, AIMESMITH.com, where you can find Amy and just all the resources that she has for helping you to cultivate and schedule rest. She's got even more great things on her website. So definitely check that out. Well, thank you, Amy, for this two-part conversation that we weren't planning on having, but hopefully it'll be seamless on the podcast. And yeah, we thank everyone who is watching live for bouncing back with us. And looks like we even gained some more audience in the process. So, you know, that works well.
Well, Peggy, thank you so much for having me on. And thank you to everybody who's joined us. I've really enjoyed this tonight. It's been a very good, very beneficial conversation.
Yeah, it's something we need to bring out of the open, because like you said at the beginning, it's something we all want, but it almost seems like you can't quantify it as to what it is that you're really looking for and wanting.
Right.
And yet you did such a great job tonight of breaking that down for us as to this is what rest can be, and this is how you can go about making space for it and thinking more purposefully towards it. And I think that's really what we have the hardest time doing is stopping. So yeah, Natalie says, thanks, good discussion. Definitely, I agree. It's gonna be hard for me to pick out the segments to use for the short videos as we post those next week. But thanks so much, Amy, and just for your time. And I hope our readers will tap into your resources. And we also want to thank Bookshark for sponsoring this episode. Definitely check them out at bookshark.com and all the resources that they have to share. And definitely check out our website at spedhomeschool.com. We are a nonprofit. And so we appreciate just your support. We are a 501c3. So if you feel led to support our outreach, we would love that. We have a worldwide reach, and we help parents all around the world homeschool children with special educational needs. And rest is one of those things that our parents strive for even more than just the typical parent. So this was really a good conversation to have tonight. And so next week, we are going to be talking about managing life, homeschool, and business with a chronic illness. And so Tricia Soderstrom is going to be joining us. And I know Amy knows her too. But she has some really good advice, again, from one of those places where she had mandatory rest and really had to make some tough choices in her life and learn some difficult lessons. But from those, she has gained a lot of wisdom. And so she's going to share those with us next week. So I hope you're part of that conversation with us next Tuesday night. We're here Tuesday night almost every week from 8 to 9 p.m. Central Time. And if you want to keep the conversation going during the middle of the week, we also have a support group on Facebook where you can join us there. And we'll be launching actually some new groups on a private app starting on February 1st, where we're going to help you to actually meet up with one another and create communities, which we're super excited about. So stay tuned for that too. But yeah, thanks everyone for joining us, and we will see you again next week. Bye, everybody.